When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
GraceAndTruthRadio.world proudly presents Life Coaching for Men, improving their relationships with their wives and learning to communicate for a more fulfilling and satisfying marriage. And now, Men Loving Well with Christian counselor, author, and relationship coach, Dr. Jim Slaughter.
In vivid images, Eugene Peterson emphasizes the humility and selflessness of Christ with these words. He writes, "It is difficult to recapture by an act of imagination the incongruity of a person self-designated as the Son of Man hanging pierced and bleeding on a cross. The incongruity is less dramatic, but even more offensive when the Son of Man has dinner with a prostitute, stops off for lunch with a tax collector, wants time blessing children when there were Roman legions to be chased from the land, heals unimportant losers, and ignores high-achieving Pharisees and influential Sadducees. Jesus juxtaposed the most glorious title available to him with the most menial of lifestyles in the culture. He talked like a king, and he acted like a slave. He preached with high authority and lived like a vagabond." Men, including husbands, balk at the idea of being a vagabond. Our sense of self-worth resists it. Perfectionistic and obsessive tendencies seem to come with being male. We thrive on achievement, and we make our meals of recognition. There's something in men that makes us want to shoot the biggest elk and catch the biggest bass and drive the fastest car. We want to be first, and we want to be best. I hated the color silver because it reminded me of second place. We play to win. Mistakes are unforgivable because they hinder our stardom and they reveal our terror of incompetence. It's hard for us to admit the truth about our hereditary faults and limited talents. As real as they are, it's just hard for us to be humble. When a man takes a long, deep look inside, he identifies with men like James and John. These are the disciples who came to Jesus with a request for stardom, for recognition, for power, and for glory. Their story shines a spotlight on our own hearts, showing us a part of ourselves we don't like to think about. Mark tells us about it in chapter 10 of his gospel. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came up to him. "Teacher, we have something we want you to do for us." "What is it? I'll see what I can do." "Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us at your right, the other at your left." Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're asking. Are you capable of drinking the cup I drink, of being baptized in the baptism I'm going to be plunged into?" "Sure," they said. "Why not?" Jesus said, "Come to think of it, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized in my baptism. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. There are other arrangements for that." When the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them together to settle things down. "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around," he said, "and when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That's what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give his life away in exchange for many who are held hostage. It's easy to be appalled at their ambition. It's easy to be shocked by their self-focus. It's easy to be offended by their move to beat their brothers to the punch. But would we have done any better? Sometimes I wonder if I had been there and been them, I might have done the very same thing. It gets worse, though, when we see the progression of events leading up to their request. First progression step. Entering the villages around Caesarea Philippi, Jesus called the crowd to gather round his disciples. Chapter 8. Calling the crowd to his disciples, he said, "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me. I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? What could you ever trade your soul for?" Then the second progression step, chapter 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain. His appearance changed from the inside out, right before their eyes. His clothes shimmered, glistening white, whiter than any bleach could make them. Elijah, along with Moses, came into view in deep conversation with Jesus. Peter interrupted, "Rabbi, this is a great moment. Let's build 3 memorials, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He blurted this out without thinking, stunned as they all were by what they were seeing. Just then, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them, and from deep in the cloud, a voice, "This is my son, marked by my love. Listen to him." The next minute, the disciples were looking around, rubbing their eyes, seeing nothing but Jesus, only Jesus. Coming down from the mountain, Jesus swore them to secrecy. "Don't tell a soul what you saw. After the Son of Man rises from the dead, you're free to talk." And they puzzled over that, wondering what on earth rising from the dead meant. Now the third progression step, also chapter 9. Leaving there, they went through Galilee. He didn't want anyone to know their whereabouts, for he wanted to teach his disciples. He told them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed to some people who want nothing to do with God. They will murder him. 3 days after his murder, he will rise alive." They didn't know what he was talking about, but they were afraid to ask him about it. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was safe at home, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the road?" The silence was deafening. They had been arguing with one another about who among them was greatest. He sat down and summoned the 12. "So you want to be in first place? Then take the last place. Be the servant of all." He put a child in the middle of the room. Then, cradling the little one in his arms, he said, "Whoever embraces one of these children as I do embraces me, and far more than me, God who sent me." Can you imagine the disciples' chatter on the road? Matthew contends, "I was rich. Look at all I've given up to follow him." Peter snaps back, "Yeah, but I walked on water." Andrew counters, "But you almost drowned out there because you freaked out. Besides, you wouldn't even be here if I hadn't brought you in the first place." But Jesus replies, "Men, this isn't the way it is. You want to be first and be last and serve everyone around you." Seeing this progression, these 3 preceding events, reveals the base and human nature of the request of James and John. We can think of various words for it: egotistic, rude, selfish, proud, vain, self-righteous are some words that come to mind. All of this sets the stage for Mark 10:35-45. Having put it into context, let me read it again. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came up to him. "Teacher, we have something we want you to do for us." "What is it? I'll see what I can do." "Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the high places of honor in your glory, one of us at your right, the other at your left." Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're asking. Are you capable of drinking the cup I drink, of being baptized in the baptism I'm about to be plunged into?
Sure, they said. Why not?
Jesus said, Come to think of it, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized in my baptism. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. There are other arrangements for that. When the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John, and Jesus got them together to settle things down. You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, he said, and when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. James and John want the best seats in the house. They want to be visible, prestigious, and honored. Matthew tells us their mother got down on her knees and begged Jesus to do this for her sons. I really hate to admit how like these men I am at times, with my naive presumptions. But Jesus tells these two that they don't grasp what they're really asking for, that greatness is always requiring soul suffering of one kind or another. The words cup and baptism here are metaphors for suffering. The cup of the wrath of God is a frequent theme in the Old Testament. Here it foreshadows Jesus' work of redemption on the cross. James and John are clueless, and their answer is glib, insensitive, and short-sighted. Sure, they say. Why not? The 10 other disciples are indignant. They're hot because James and John went behind their backs. They sought an advantage of being first, greatest, powerful, recognized, admired. But there's this ironic truth about the gospel. If you want to be great, you must be a servant. If you want to be first, you must be everyone's slave. If you want to be first, you've got to be last. From God's perspective, greatness isn't a matter of visibility, but vulnerability. It's not about being prestigious, but being plain. It's not about honor, but about being honorable. George Washington was larger than life. He's one of my heroes, real heroes. But he was known more for his humility and for loving his wife well. The day he was elected Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army, Washington wrote to his wife to inform her of the honor being conferred upon him. He seemed eager to reassure her of his devotion. I should enjoy more real happiness and felicity in 1 month with you at home than I have the most distant prospect of reaping abroad if my stay was to be 7 times 7 years. Washington promised to return safely to her in the fall, but he enclosed a will. He allowed himself more candor with his favorite brother, John Augustine. For a while, Washington wrote, I'm embarked on a wide ocean, boundless in its prospect, and from whence, perhaps, no safe harbor is to be found. One of Washington's traits that impressed the Congress in Philadelphia was his modesty. He seldom joined in their debates. His education had been limited, and he wasn't a fluent speaker. He allowed his fellow Virginian Edmund Pendleton to draft his acceptance speech, but the tenor and sincerity of his words were his own. He spoke as frankly to members of the Congress as he would to his brother. Washington said he was distressed that his abilities and his military experience might not be adequate for the trust they were conferring upon him. Still, he promised to exert his every power in the glorious cause. But if, and here Washington revealed a lifelong dread, if he failed, if his reputation lay in ruins, the Congress should remember that he had warned them on this day, that he wasn't equal to the command. In concluding, Washington refused the monthly salary that the Congress had voted for him. Instead, he promised to keep an exact account of his expenses, and he'd be reimbursed only for them. His brief speech was favorably received. John Adams thought it was noble, particularly the part about renouncing his pay. See, the disciples thought that greatness was about crowns and thrones. Jesus knew that greatness is about crosses and thorns. This entry from David Parkin's diary reminds us of this truth. He writes, As a child,
To visualize nobility was to conjure up images of kings and queens adorned in the majestic scarlet robes of royalty. As a man, softened by the tutelage of life and time, I've learned a great truth. That true nobility is usually a silent and lonely affair, unaccompanied by the trumpeted fanfare of acclaim, and more times than not, it wears rags. December 19th, 1913. And so we see the ultimate example in the Lord himself. The one who deserved to be served will serve. He who deserved to live will die. He will ransom his own life to buy sinners out of the slave market of sin. This is the ultimate irony. If we try to save our lives, we lose them. If we give up our lives, we find them. If we want to be first, we must be last. If we want to be great, we must be slaves. And God would die so his creatures could live, out of a love almost impossible to understand. Husbands, let me ask you some rhetorical questions that may help us all see where we are with humility. Ask yourself, do I always have to win when I argue with my wife? When will I learn that if I have to win, I lose? How am I affected by the praise of others? What do I do with the cheers of the crowd? In what ways do I think I know best and my wife doesn't? When have I felt superior to my wife? What would it be like not to say to my wife, "I told you so," but instead to say, "I'm sorry this is happening to you. How can I help?" In what ways do I arrange to let my wife know how smart I am, how wonderful I am, and how humble I am? Probably most of us wish we could answer with more positive responses. But if you'd like positive practical ideas for moving humbly towards your wife, try some of these. Wash the dishes when it's her turn. Ignore her rude remark. Let her win at tennis or at something else. Forgive a past offense. Serve her breakfast in bed. Keep a confidence. Laugh when the joke's on you. Say you were wrong. Say she was right. Say please. Say yes. Explain patiently. Tell the truth. Remain calm. Share something she doesn't know about you. Men, we want to love our wives well, so every day we put love on the line. There's probably nothing that we're less good at than love. We're far better in competition than in love. We're far better at responding to our instincts and to our ambitions to get ahead and make our mark than we are at figuring out how to love our wives. We are schooled and trained in getting our own way. But right here, right now, let's decide to set aside what we do best and attempt to do what we do very clumsily. Humble ourselves. Lower ourselves in our own eyes. Give more than we take. Be willing to look foolish. Be willing to be last. Be ready to serve. Men, if we mean business when it comes to loving well, we will daily give our attention to humility, a quality so attractive to our wives, it may make all the difference. I'd like to add a kind of epilogue, if I may, which is a look into God's nature. And so I want you to ask these questions as well. Am I aware that when I have to win, seek cheers from the crowd, always think I know best, condemn rather than console, want to be visible, not vulnerable, that God is infinitely patient with me, that he has no thought of chiding, "Don't you get it? When are you going to figure this out?" Instead, he holds out his hand and he says, "Walk with me, stay close, I'll show you how to do this." Am I aware that this is God's mercy to me, that he doesn't treat me as my sins deserve? Am I aware that if I know Jesus, that the gospel is powerfully at work every moment of every day, that when I think God is fed up with me, he isn't, that when I believe God is disgusted with me, he isn't, that when I fear God can't possibly forgive me, he can, that when I'm at the end of my rope and believe God must hate me, that he doesn't. He loves me. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Take this life, Lord. take this life, Lord, it's yours. Have my heart, have it all.
Thank you again for joining us. Men Loving Well airs live every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Central Time on graceandtruthradio.world. If you would like to contact or coach with Dr. Jim Slaughter, reach out to him on facebook.com/livingwellshow. Email him at jslaughterphd@yahoo.com or contact him at his clinic, Life Solutions, 817-232-1363. We look forward to seeing you again next week here on Men Loving Well.
Life Solutions Coaching and Counseling in Fort Worth, Texas is a full-service wellness clinic providing individual, group, and family counseling, one-on-one coaching for life and wellness, and naturopathic treatments of medical massage therapy combined with essential oils to ensure you reach your health and wellness goals. Sessions are available in person or by phone. Get started on your new life today. Just call 817-232-1363 or go to LifeSolutionsCoachingAndCounseling.com or email them at LifeSolutionsCC@yahoo.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.